Vai do top. Fazer ele.
Where's your hat?
Hello? Okay, you can hear me. Where's my hat?
Question.
Well, I guess I'm giving you a special edition.
Okay.
Special edition, Pikayo with no hat.
Hey, we live, we live, we live, we live, we live, we live.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. I know we're a little bit behind, but life called and we still had to find a way of making it happen. My dear, thank you for saying yes. Thank you for coming on the Nana Yaya Bua podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, honestly. It's
You
been a little
remember this
bit.
face?
I do
Ah,
BPTN.
that is right. That is right. Thank you so much. I've been looking forward for this conversation for a long time since we met.
Yes, that was October last year.
That was October last year. Almost, well, we getting towards a year now. Yes.
Yeah, like
So
6 months.
that is right. That's true. That's true. So, guys, welcome to the Nana Yaya Bua podcast. Welcome our Prime Minister of Toronto, the one and only Fikayo Aderoju. Did I get the name
Yes.
pronunciation correct? Ah,
Yes, but it
nice.
is Aderoju. Aderoju,
Aderoju.
not OU.
Oh, did I do it? OU?
Yeah, you did the OU in this title here.
Oh, that one is not going anywhere. What you see on your screen at the bottom
Yeah,
is
okay,
that
great again, Pikayo.
yes. I realized that I couldn't change it. I couldn't change it.
I'm actually very excited for this conversation, I won't lie. One thing I have to tell the audience about the host is that your host is a very persistent woman, and I love that, right? Honestly, she reached out to me. I was like, yo, like I actually really want to do this, right? And she reached out to me again, and I was like, yeah, I'm definitely coming on, and we're here, right? And that's the first gem I want to leave with people, is that the first time she reached out, I wouldn't lie, it honestly just got mixed up, right, with other things at the time, right? And a lot of times when people try things the first time and it doesn't work out, a lot of people give up and they just have to try again, right? They really just have to try again. So if you're trying to maybe start writing that book, or you're trying to start that business, or you're trying to go to university, or you're going to high school, right? Like if it doesn't work out the first time, that doesn't mean you should give up, right? It just means you need to go again. It's okay to try again, right? And yeah, like there have been things like that. There have been opportunities where people reach out to me and it gets mixed up or something like that. And I go back and I look for them, but I don't find them again, right? So I'm really glad we are having this conversation right now.
The conversation needed to be had, and looking at your busy schedule, I knew that sometimes it will get mixed up. So kind of take a step back, and when I reach out again, it's a reminder that I reached out. And like I said, I have your patience.
No, like honestly, I am honored to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
Truly, truly. So
Thank you.
thank you for having me.
You are the Gen Z.
Oh,
I had the opportunity to interview one of Nigeria's a young man I deem a great journalist, investigative journalist, David Hundeyin. The video is not out, but I must say that I'm really the remarkable work that this generation is doing. The difference in mindset that you have from my generation and the generation behind me is so remarkable that every time I have these conversations with you guys, I have this energy, this hope that there is a transformation coming, and you are part of that, you know, transformation. So let me read a little bit of what I wrote to introduce you before you started, you know, your masterclass of the greatness within. This is not going to be an interview. This is going to be a masterclass, so that the floor is yours. Any young person around the world, irrespective of your race, your color, your gender, your sex, whatever, will take something from your narrative, from your experience, and use it. And for those of us as well who are of the, you know, the Gen X generation, will also learn from, you know, how do we call it? Our children, which you are part of. So Fikayo represents, in my view, a new generation of transformative global change makers of African descent, the hope and moral compass of our future. As a young man, he has managed to find purpose and impact in his life and the wider community. It is by this virtue that I am delighted to have him on my podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Nala. Thank you so much. Honestly, I am excited to, you know, speak to people and just learn more from you as well and learn about your own journey too.
I'll charge you extra. So if one looks at your accolade, it's like you are on an Ontario medalist, the founder of Project Impact, Impacting Lives. You are one of New York's 30 under 30. You won the Diana Award. Oh, Jesus Christ. You were on World Economic Forum, and you are still young. This is some of the things we you know, our old daddy, 60, 70-year-olds. These are accolades that in the past would have been accorded to somebody. But half their age, you've been able to do that. And that is something that, and the scholarship. Most important, the scholarship. Founder, Project Impacting Lives and the scholarship. Those two things really touch my heart. So, the self-acclaimed Prime Minister of Toronto, the floor is yours. Let's start with growing up in Nigeria.
Okay. So, like, what I want this really to be is to be a conversation. I don't want it to be me, you know, telling them, okay, here are the tips, here are the... I really just want us to just flow, have a conversation.
You know, get problem for just the Wigo just, so continue.
Let's gist, but yeah, so what exactly about growing up in Nigeria would you want?
So for everybody, how we grew up informs who we become in the future, the psychological makeup of, you know, our childhood. So for myself, growing up in Ghana, the type of schools I went to, the decisions I made in my life, which sort of created a tangent as to where I went professionally. Instead of journalism, I went into nursing, but still continuing with aspects of writing and engagement and poetry and, you know, public speaking. I still find myself in the space, which has been the, you know, the foundation of this podcast and the importance of storytelling. And the narrative that I heard about my people, about the continent, West Africa, and all those things, when I pull them together, they are the foundation of the Nanaya Yabua podcast and the person having this conversation.
Okay. Now I have more context. So the context I would give you, it really is growing up in Nigeria. One thing my parents really did that was really good is, first of all, I wanted to become an architect when I was younger. Why? Because my dad is into real estate, and my dad would take me to sites when we were much younger, and he would show me different contractors he's working with and different artisans he's working with, right? And I saw a lot of really, really successful people growing up. Right, and that made me go like, I'm going to be successful. It made me like, I never once thought, okay, I may not be like, it was like, yeah, like, because I'm going to be successful, because every single person around me like was successful, right? And one thing I realized that was an advantage is when I came here, because when I came here, it didn't matter my skin color. I've seen successful people in Nigeria, right? So you couldn't tell me that because of my skin color, you cannot be successful, right? Because I was like, yeah, like you, there are principles of success, right? And as far as you follow those principles and you hold God, right? Because I don't believe in only following the principles, I believe in God as well. As far as you follow those principles and you hold God and you trust Him with everything you have, then you are going to be successful. That's what I believe in, right?
Yes.
And so that is something I would say from my childhood that really, really helped me. And I'll give you a story. When I went back in December, my dad took me to one of his friends that owns a gas station, right? And I saw... we were literally passing the highway, and he was like, yeah, my friend owns that. And I was like, wait, what's like, what do you mean your friend owns that, petrol station? Like, what are you talking about? I was like, yeah, my friend owns that. So we drove into the gas station, and right there, he called his friend, and his friend came. Right? And I took pictures with his friend, and I was there, like, and I was like, what? Like, and I was talking to his friend, and I was like, what? Like, how is this, you know? And
how did you do it?
For me, it was like, okay, that means I could own a gas station in the future, because this like huge thing, like to me before, it was like, okay, how is that? Like, who do you own a gas? Till now, I don't know how someone owns a gas station, but I know that my dad knows someone that does, right? So that's why I'll tell parents, even watching this or listening to this, right? Feed your children with people and things that can show them that they can achieve. They can become like phenomenal people. Because, like, even just in December, seeing that, I was like, wow, this is possible.
It is like, possible.
He planted a seed, and even now the seed is still being watered. I'm still like, okay, like, This is possible, right? But before going to Nigeria, I never thought I could own a gas. Like, that's, you know, we have Shell here, we have all these guys. But imagine being the owner of one, right? And that's what I'm telling people, and that's what I'm telling people watching this, that it doesn't have to be that your dad's friend owns a gas station and things like that. But let people, you yourself, feed your mind with things that allow you to dream. Number one, from a young age, that helped me. And if you're a parent watching this, make sure that your children are seeing just inspiration all around them, right? So people on the news or people around them or your friends are doing amazing things. Let your children know about it. Let your children do it. That way, when they grow up, they believe that they can do great things as well.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness, that is so enlightening. The reason why I say it's enlightening is that the communities we come from, there is always this idea that people who have money, people who have money are evil. And money is the root of all evil. You understand where I'm coming from?
The love of money. Not money. Not money. The love of money. And that's something I could touch on, right? So the love of money is the root of all evil, right? And the Bible says that because a lot of times people tend to make money their security. And they start serving money. So instead of serving God and putting all their faith in God, because they have a lot of money, then they tend to say, oh, I have $50 million. I have $500 million. Nobody can touch me. I'm unstoppable. I don't even need to, like, I'm good. I don't need God, right? That's what a lot of people tend to think, because money gives you that illusion. And I'm not saying all rich people are like that. Not at all. Right? But the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. When you love money, so you're meant to love God more than you love money. Right? That's the most important thing. And the thing I would also say is that in life, you need money. Yes. You need money to go to school, right? To do like a lot of things, right? You need money. Even to help people, you need money.
Yes.
Right? At Project Impacting Lives, we've distributed over 10,000 care products to people all across Ontario. And we had to have money to do that.
Yes.
We had to have resources to do that. Mm-hmm. Right? So you need money to even impact lives. You need money if you want to build a school. You need money if you want to help people that are starting their businesses. You need money to do so many things. So having money is not the issue and it's not a bad thing. It's the love, you know, of money. And, you know, there are some people that will be like, I can do anything for money. Right? Like, and that's the extremity of it.
And that is one thing that I tend to hear a lot in the language that we tend to speak from the continent of Africa, that I can do anything for money. I can even sell my kidney. I can, I'm not going to go into that part of extreme, which has been amongst, you know, within some of the movies that we've watched, they say that. And the psychological impact of the words we speak on us, and that is where my fear stands. Okay, I will rest my case there. Before I start a sermon, I will leave that to you to preach. So we've understood, you know, the impact of your childhood, what you saw, what you were exposed to, and it's the seeds that were sown into you that transformed your mindset. Then to hear you are in Canada, around what age did you come in and your educational journey?
So I came in at 16. I was 16 years old when I came to Canada. My educational journey, I went to a school called Tai, so that was downtown. It's like a sixth form, but pretty much they were prepping us for university.
Okay,
we were taking like grade 12 classes before we went to university, and they were just getting us ready for university.
Okay.
And then I went to York University and graduated in 2022. So that has been my educational journey. Studied economics at York. So I ended up switching from architecture to economics.
Oh, wow. So both of us are York alumni.
Yes. Okay.
I did grad school in education at York. Yeah.
How did you like it?
It was good. It was good because most of my educational journey had been at U of T. And so I decided to find a different path and I ended up in York. And I really did love the culture that was there. It spoke more the language that I understand. I should say. And I had some great professors that also, you know, saw you, listened to you, and highly encouraged. And then there were some that were not that great, but that one is a story for another day. You can't, the bed cannot always be rosy. Sometimes there are, you know, whatever around. Okay, my dear. So as we continue this conversation, right now I'm forming professionalism, because if we weren't live, probably it would be different kinds of conversations. So let me be professional. Anti-professional. Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you've had in your life that has shaped you presently to become the person you are?
So when I think about it, I'm like, okay, challenges. So first, the truth is,
you don't see it as challenges.
That's the truth.
Good.
That's the truth. Like I was telling one of my friends today that I thank God I slept on my friend's couch. Right? Mm-hmm. So now, one thing I'll say, I thank God I slept on my friend's couch. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. But one thing I want to tell a lot of young people, right? So I'm 25, right? Mm-hmm. So anyone younger than 25, please draw your tear closer. When you, in your 18 to 25 years, you're in the process of figuring it out. Even older, right? You're in the process of figuring it out. A lot of people around you, they may be buying cars, and you know, some may have even bought houses, some may be doing all these big things. That's amazing. But I don't want you to feel that pressure, right? Because for a good amount of years, from between 18 to 25, I was on my friend's couch and I was building. That's the truth, right? So I was learning. I really was learning, from podcasts to YouTube videos to books. I started watching documentaries. I was doing a lot of personal development. So what my physical situation looked like wasn't what my mental situation was on. And it was those days that made these days, right? So now, to the glory of God, we have an Ontario Medal for Young Volunteers. Mm-hmm. And to the glory of God, I'm the first Nigerian to receive that medal ever in Canadian history. Mm-hmm. But when I was on my friend's couch, I was literally putting together those care packages while I was on his couch. Do you get what I'm saying?
How long did it take you, the journey? Because it's not overnight. Like 2 years, 3 years.
On his couch?
Yes. And putting together the care packages. When the idea came to mind, for the care packages, when the idea 2019, and it became a reality in 2020.
It became a reality in 2019. So we went out and we distributed the care pack. So it wasn't like, okay, let's start an organization. No, it was, there are people on the streets downtown facing homelessness. Let's help them. That was all.
Okay.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, when you go downtown, if you go downtown today, right, you would see people on the streets that need support. Go to Dollarama, go to Walmart, go to Freshco, get them products and support them. That's it. Warm socks, warm gloves, toothpaste, toothbrushes, the essentials. That's what we're doing. So I was definitely very much against building an organization, because that entails leadership, and you have to put together people. And all, I was like, I just want to help the people. I'm not as concerned with having all this. And I would bring my friends on, and I was just like, okay, I'll call my friends. Okay, let's do this. And it was during my birthday. So that was how to celebrate my birthday. So instead of my friends all gathering for like a birthday party, it was okay, let's celebrate with Fikayo, and this is his birthday thing, right?
So the bottle of Ciroc was substituted for care packages. The cognac was substituted for, because if you look at the price of this alcohol, if you use it to buy the care packages, maybe you reach five people.
You reach definitely more than five people. First of all, I do not drink, so it was definitely much easier to pick distributed care packages, right? And I don't know how much a bottle of Ciroc is, but I know it's probably going to be hundreds of dollars.
I have no idea either.
And care packages, it's going to be hundreds of dollars as well, but I think bottle of Ciroc may be more expensive than supporting five people. Supporting five people may just be $100 or maybe 75. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, your liver is safe.
Yes, your liver is safe when you do not drink bottles of Ciroc.
And your happiness is high.
Yes.
Amen. And the thank yous and the blessings that come to you is priceless.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of fulfillment. I will tell you that much, right? You know, when you know your life is a blessing, when you know someone can smile because you are alive, when you know that your life is impacting other people positively, it makes you. There's no feeling that really tops that, right? So.
Fikayo, you are 25. For many of us, it takes us a lifetime to find purpose. You know, the reason why I asked you whether it took you years to, you know, do this care packages was, but it took me 4 or 5 years to go on my first mission to Sierra Leone on a medical mission. And it took me years before, and I had to pack my suitcase literally the year before, or months, way like 4 or 5 months to say the suitcase is packed.
Wow.
Before I managed to buy the ticket and then make all the arrangements. So it took me time. That's why I wanted to know whether yours took you time as well, or the length of time it took for you to do that. So you see why but then our circumstances are also different. But I do admire this. I do admire that.
Thank you. One thing I want to say about that, though, is that I never really felt like distributing care packages was my purpose. And a lot of times, a lot of people are searching for this grand purpose of they have a shining light and God tells them,
a revelation.
This is your purpose, right?
Enlightenment.
No, there's a burden in your heart. There's a burden in your heart. There's something you really, really want to do. There's something God has put in your heart. Or it could come as what is in your hand. What has God placed in your hand, right? That's number one. Do that thing God has placed in your hand really, really well. That's how you find purpose. Right? Whatever is in your hand, make sure you do it to the best of your ability. Make sure you are doing it with excellence. That's how you find purpose. That's how purpose comes.
Okay. That is how it comes. So if you haven't found yours, it is somewhere there. You need to dig deep into yourself and you need to, you know, listen.
Whatever your hand finds doing, do it well.
Yes. Yes. Hey, hold on. Not everything your fan finds doing is also good.
Whatever good thing. My God.
And that is true. So we needed to qualify that side as well. I was listening to, I think, the something career, a podcast that had you on it. And you spoke of vulnerability as strength. For many people, they think, you know, you're vulnerable, that means you're weak. What do you mean by vulnerability as strength?
So for me, vulnerability doesn't mean sharing your life story with every single person. No, that's not vulnerability. Vulnerability doesn't mean I meet you today and I tell you all my deep pains. That's not vulnerability. No. Vulnerability, right, as strength. That what that means is you're not afraid to show your emotions. You're not afraid to show who you really are. You're not afraid to really be transparent to people, right? Like, you are yourself, like, you're authentically yourself. So, yeah. Especially as a leader, a lot of times you need to, people expect you to have it all figured out, right? Mm-hmm. Or as a guy, right? Or even as a woman as well. Like, people, the world places demands on us, mm-hmm. right? And as a guy, maybe the world is placing a certain type of demand on you, right? And you could choose to be vulnerable, right? So, for example, a lot of times men are told not to cry, right? Because that shows you are weak, right? But now, my own thing with crying, right, is that crying doesn't bring solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But I support crying. Why? Because it allows you to release your emotions. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the kind of person I am, if I watch a really sweet movie, I cry. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, if you think that makes me weak, more power to you, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just the truth, right? So that's what I'm saying. I'm not afraid to cry. Like, that doesn't mean I'm weak. Because mm-hmm. when push comes to shove, right, and when life throws really hard blows at you, that's how you know who is really weak and who is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? And for me, strength is shown in calmness, in stillness. When, like, everything is going crazy and you're still able to be calm.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you show you are strong. It's not by, and I see this all the time, you know, somebody, maybe there's a misunderstanding and somebody says, don't you dare talk to me that way. Don't think I'm a fool. I'm not good. And I'm like, that doesn't show strength, right?
Or do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am, right? That just shows, like, anybody that is really somebody would not say that. That's the truth. Because they know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't need to announce. If you need to announce every single time who you are, then, like,
mm-hmm.
it more or less shows you are seeking for validation from others, mm-hmm. right? And so even the Prime Minister of Toronto, for me, is a mindset.
I have accepted it.
That's a mindset,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a mindset. And it's just like, you see LeBron James calls himself King James.
Yes.
Right? You see Michael Jackson called himself King of Pop.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not, oh, you are giving yourself titles or things like that. No, it's a mindset, right? Or LeBron calls himself the chosen one. Or there are people like Wes Hall that called himself King of Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
So Bay Street doesn't have a king, but mm-hmm. he's showing you his mindset. He's showing you how he appears and how he shows up on Bay Street. When he's walking on Bay Street, he mm-hmm. sees himself not as a king with a royal regalia and mm-hmm. with like a crown or things like that, but he's showing that, yes, like, I'm going to be really successful on Bay Street. That's what it means. Do you get what I'm saying? So
yes.
you have to develop your own mindset mm-hmm. in your own domain, in nursing, Nana, right? Like, you could create your own, maybe queen of nursing, right? Like, whatever, and it doesn't need to be public or things like that, but that defines how you show up every single morning. If you're the queen of nursing, then every single morning you show up with excellence. You show up with diligence. You'll be competent in your role because the queen knows what she's doing.
Amen and amen and amen, amen. You have read me like a book. Continue.
Yes.
Agabola. What is the word? What is money? Premium or nothing? Oh yeah, continue.
No, please. But what I'm trying to tell you and the audience. More than anything is you have to define what you want to become.
Yes.
Right? Don't allow people to place labels on you. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if you're calling yourself, right, let's say king of this or queen of that, then you have to show up with excellence, because nobody's going to believe it and nobody's going to call you that if you are not showing up with excellence. Mm-hmm. But when you show up with excellence, then it even places more of a demand on you personally, because you know it allows you to go for excellence. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's what I would tell people, that you don't need a title. That's not the most important thing, right? But if you're trying to make a brick wall, every single brick in making of that wall is important. Don't worry about, okay, I'm trying to create this whole brick wall and it's not working out and it's going to take so much time. No, just make sure you lay the first brick with excellence and lay it as best as you can, mm-hmm. right? To the best of your ability. You take the next brick, lay it to the best of your ability. Take the next brick, lay it to the best of your ability. And before you know it, you have a nice brick wall. Mm-hmm. Now, last thing I want to say is, when you are laying your brick wall, make sure you don't look at what other people are doing, because comparison is a thief of joy. Mm-hmm. Right? And when you look at what other people are doing, you tend to look down on what you are doing. Mm-hmm. So you are making progress. It may not be seen now. People may not see what you're doing now. But I was recently writing that if you plant a mustard seed, it looks so tiny.
That's right? True.
But if you Google how a mustard tree looks, mm-hmm. it's beautiful, it's fruitful, and it looks amazing. And it has branches. So not only is it a blessing, but it's a blessing to other animals as well. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the thing of that little small seed. Just keep watering it. Mm-hmm. Just keep showing up every single day. Just keep helping people. Just keep supporting others. Just keep doing what you continually do with excellence. And before you know it, you become a tree, right, that is not only supporting others, but it's also becoming a blessing
a to fruitful a tree.
Lot of people. You're becoming fruitful, right? So that's the most important thing. Focus on the daily steps. Focus on the small, actionable things that you can do to make a positive difference.
When is the book coming out?
When is the book this summer? The book is coming out this summer.
Because everything you say, and I'm looking at it in a book, and then we're going to have a sit-down discussion with the book, all these conversations. So I'm waiting for you to add author to your name. You know, you speaking and I'm listening, and 25 years old, I don't think at that age, actually, my mind was where your mind is. All I wanted to do was finish my nursing. Nursing was my second degree, finish it up at U of T and get to work. So my mind was so much in the school, I wasn't looking outside. I wish I'd looked outside, but...
No, we thank God for where you are today.
Amen. Be grateful.
Yes.
Gratitude.
In all things, give thanks.
Yes, in all things, give thanks. But I am really happy. I am really happy we having this conversation. And when you spoke about the mustard seed, I think I put a post on my LinkedIn today on, you know, the seeds. We see the greenery up. A tree grows both directions, up and down.
Yes.
When you look at the root system, it is a reflection. Also, it has branching all the way. Mm. But the root starts first before you see the tree sprout and see the greenery. Mm. when I heard you speaking about, you know, all these things, the inner work you did on the couch, nobody saw that. And that is the seed rooting deeply. And now we see, when somebody sees you out there, maybe they'll see your dressing, they'll see you getting awards, but the root system that was watered, that branched, that got that solid, that grounding, because we don't see it, all we see is
exactly
this one. So when you were speaking, it was just coming to mind. And I have a book behind me, Roots of a Woman. And that's a collection of poetry books that I put out, I think 2017. And it actually speaks similarly to this as well. So you're speaking and it's like, oh, he's speaking my language.
Amazing. I love that. Inner working.
Yes. And I will add to that, it is very critical, because if you don't work within and you say follow money, chase money, at a certain point you ask, what is my value as a human being? You feel disengaged, really trying to find discontent, trying to find happiness, but you can't. I see a trend that people have followed money, they became miserable because the money did not bring them happiness. Now they reverting to, you know, mission work for or volunteering or giving to, because they realize that being of service to people creates a lot of, you know, a dopamine high, oxytocin release, and all those happy stuff. So I'm glad you found yours early.
Thank you.
How do you want to be remembered? You are young. This is a question, I think, for older people, but you've already started this journey. What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? You already have a legacy. I believe so. You're doing very, very well.
The first thing I want to honestly be remembered for is just a guy that loves God, honestly. Just a guy that loves Jesus. That's the first thing. When it's all said and done, I want to be remembered as a guy that really loved Jesus and gave his all to the Father. That's the first thing. The second thing I want to be remembered for is a guy that did not give up, honestly, because so far in Canada, right, like, there have been ups and downs, right? But honestly, the same time it takes to go back is the same time it takes to go forward.
So why not go forward?
And you know, like, I can remember, like, during the difficult moments, I'm just like, this experience will be able to inspire so many people, right? And I always used to think about that. And that allowed me to keep going, right? So more than anything, I want to remember that as a guy that did not let the obstacles stop him, right? That's the second thing. The third thing is, I want to remember for is a guy that wanted to see people win and actualize their potential. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. When I see people and I see their potential and they're not, you know, I'm like, you're at 75, but you could really get to 100. And you have it, right? And you have it. It's like, when I see people that are doing good, I'm like, oof. Like, if you really put in more, you know, effort and apply yourself more, you could really, really go the distance. It really, like, it pains my heart. I'm like, wow. like you have it, but you just need to apply yourself more, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I really love people and I really want people to fulfill their greatest potential, right? So a lot of people, you know, including myself, right, you're doing good, but are you doing all God has called you to be?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, are you actualizing your fullest potential?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You want to go to the grave empty. You want to make sure that when it's all said and done, everything that God planted in your heart, you left it all on the table. And that's the same mentality I gave while I was at York. While I was at York, I said, once I'm done, I want to be able to tell my children that your dad did everything he could. He did the best he could. And that's how I live life now, right? In our work, in life, like whatever I'm doing, I want to be able to say I did the best I could. While I'm having this podcast conversation, right, I want to say Fikayo did the best he could in this conversation.
Amen.
Right? And mm-hmm. and that's the most important thing, right? Like, just leave it out all on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, people's lives will be impacted. Because even if you do not win, when you watch a soccer game, when you watch a basketball game, even if your favorite player doesn't win, you know they give it their best, and you still appreciated them for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know when this athlete, you know when this person, you know when somebody on your team puts in their best, they went the extra mile, they went above and beyond. Whether they win or lose, you appreciate them for that. And that's what people respect and appreciate from the greats. They see that these people put in their blood, sweat, and tears into whatever they're doing, and people respect that. So I want to be known for that as well.
That is great. I used to do visiting nursing, so see people in their homes, some with end-stage cancers. And one of the greatest lessons I learned from some of these individuals, one particular man that had diabetes and had a double amputation, I told him I wanted to learn how to shoot a gun and also ride a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "What are you waiting for?"
Exactly.
See, these legs that are no longer
mm.
have been to many places,
mm.
had ridden bikes, had done whatnot.
Mm.
Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Get on it.
What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? So we never know the future, but, you know, in pursuing and putting everything on the table and, mm. like you said, achieving what we can achieve, when you get to a certain point in your life, you don't have regrets that mm. I could have done it and I didn't do it. There is a saying that when you go to the graveyard, that is fertile. The graveyard is fertile for dreams unrealized.
Mm. Mm.
So my people, for the young people, for the old people, it doesn't matter how old you are. Find something, do it, and do it to the best of your ability. Most definitely, when I, my first podcast, my first interview, if you see it, you laugh. But it's been a journey to this point. And it's been a journey for me to accept the kind of interviewer I am.
Mm.
Mm. To be able to be comfortable having diverse conversations with diverse people from diverse backgrounds. And that has been a lot of work that I had to do internally for mm. myself, of self-acceptance, that if you're going to take this journey, this is how it's going to be. You want to be a storyteller, you want to create the platform, this is how it's going to be.
What kind of interviewer would you say you are?
Very good question. I think I allow people to bring their authentic self, create that safe mm. space that we can have critical conversations and mm. enable and encourage and inspire and motivate and all those stuff. Because there's a lot of work to be done for me, the Black African Canadian diaspora narrative need to be told, and how can we best tell it?
Okay.
So that is where I come from, and I don't follow a strict guide to having interviews. So I normally don't like calling it interviews. I love saying we are having critical conversations, so we can laugh and be free, and you know, it's like you are talking to your auntie, to your brothers and sisters or your cousins. Be free, talk, let them listen. You understand? You feel me?
I feel you. Did you just do poof?
Yes, I did. What's your problem?
Nothing. It's my problem.
Premium or nothing. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
Oh. We're done with the comedic factor. You got to be able to laugh.
It's true. Laughter is good medicine. It is.
Yes.
It makes life more enjoyable.
Yes. And I have realized that every time I have a conversation with somebody at the end, it's like, oh, this was different. It wasn't stiff.
Yeah. And I love that. I really, really do. Deep. Wow. I've never seen that in a podcast. So, for sure.
This is original anti-podcast.
Yes.
Thank you. So whilst we're having this conversation, a lot of things are going on. It's like if you look at yourself presently, is there something you change, something you're working on within
right
yourself?
Now,
yeah.
It's about building structure, to be honest. It's about building systems and structure, honestly. Like that's what I'm mostly working on, to make sure I'm more effective, more efficient. Something that really hurts my heart right now is I've had a lot of people saying, Fikai, I want you to mentor me. Fikai, I want you to help me with this, help me with that. And the truth is, I can't attend to every single person that messages. And I'm trying to build more systems and structures to be able to help more people. So to create things that can help more people, because a lot of times now I do one-on-ones, right? So I'll meet with you, would have a conversation, or maybe online, in person, things like that. But that is just not effective, because you only have 24 hours in a day. So I have to be more effective and efficient with my time. So that's one of the things I'm working on.
Master classes.
Okay. You think I should start master classes?
This is a master class in the making. Thank you.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay. So as you have master classes. Okay.
Yes. Now, all the conversations we are having is organized in such a way that when somebody comes, listens, will take away from, you know, a whole session. So this is a comprehensive masterclass that people, when you listen, you should be able to take a whole session away from it to impact your life.
Okay, fantastic. Okay.
Thank you. And even I will attend. And just like you said, you're building structures for, you know, success. That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, that how would you define success, or what kind of strategies will you use to, you know, build something like that? And you've already given it.
Yeah. I could define success according to what I believe
it means for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So success for me really is the amount of lives you've impacted, to be honest. Like, that's really what it means. So I want to make sure, like, at the end, when it's all said and done, that not just a specific kind of people, but a lot of people were positively impacted by you being born. You were a blessing to your generation, right? You were an answer to a prayer. You were a joy to your generation. People can say, thank God Fikayo is alive. I don't have to cry. Thank God Fikayo is alive. I don't have to face this issue. Thank God Fikayo is alive. God has sent him to be able to bring an answer to this problem I was facing. Right. So that's what success to me means. Mm-hmm. Right. Being able to fulfill your purpose and at the end of the day, make God happy.
When it comes to the, I don't want to go into the concept of God, but for those who happen to listen and say not Christians or whatnot, I just want to lay it there that we all believe in a universal entity, a divine entity. So whether you're a Christian, you're a Muslim, you're a Buddhist, Hare Krishna, Baha faith, there is a divine entity. Whether you believe in the God outside or the God within you, in your heart, you know that there is something special that needs to be done and something that is fruitful for humanity. And that is what we are talking about. So I don't want anybody to think that because you are, say, of a Christian background and you talk about God that way, that anybody is excluded. No. There is the divineness of purpose, the divineness of humanity, and that is what we are talking about. So, however, Fikayo defines God as his Christian background will allow him to define. So if it's an Islamic person, may say Allah, and that is perfectly fine. Thank you. I just wanted to put out that out there. Yes, great. Okay. So you've given us a lot. I'm going to quote you. Yes, I'm going to quote you on something that you said in an interview that I listened to. And it says that there are so many people in the world that were told they cannot do something. Mm-hmm. Am I bringing it to light? But they did it. But they had to think they could before they could. If you think you can, definitely you can. It was an Oh My Kerry Goodness interview. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
you remember. Mm-hmm. Do you care to break it a little bit down? Because that is really packed with a lot of wisdom.
Yeah. So there, what I'm just pretty much saying is,
there is no just.
Oh, okay. What I am saying, is before the Wright brothers put an aeroplane in the air, they have to have believed it enough to have built the aeroplane. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And then they would now fly it. Mm-hmm. So now you could go to an airport and you hop on a plane and you get to your destination. But there were some people that was not normal in their day. And they had to have built it up here. So I believe everything is built twice. Every organization, every product, every concept is built in your mind. And then it is built from your mind into life. Mm-hmm. So now you could kill it in your mind. And that is it, why it's important to have, to also be optimistic and also have positive people around you.
Yes.
Because a lot of people have had amazing, phenomenal ideas, but they have negative people around them. And those negative people plant weeds in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And that kills that great idea. Mm-hmm. And it shuts it down.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a really, really good idea, what you should do is you should preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And be careful with
the people you share it.
Share those ideas with. Because if you share it with people that do not want you to succeed, or you share it to people that do not believe in it, then they could kill it. Right? So the Wright brothers, I don't know if they must have definitely faced rejection.
They did. Nobody believed in them because initially they were bicycle repairers, or if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Nobody believed in them. And whilst they were doing that as well, the university, I forget which university in the US, there were these professional academics doing all their calculations on how to make an airplane, how to keep it in the air, how to fly. So this gets back to, if you see my interviews, there's going to be a trend of ideas. That idea was in the universe at that time. It wasn't particular to one person. And that is the nature of ideas. If we say God or the divine, it is already around us. It falls into my mind, your mind, the next person's mind, all over the world. The difference is who brings it to light. Whilst the universities were, you know, doing all their calculation, the Wright brothers were also doing their practical stuff, as, you know, for lack of mechanics, those that know how to, you know, put things together practically, and actually strap it to themselves and say, let me jump off this cliff and see how. And take, they did.
Action. Take action and execute.
Thank you.
That's the most important thing. In my opinion, everybody has ideas, and ideas are cheap, but execution is the most important thing. So when you have an idea, make sure you execute. And there's something called, I can't remember exactly what it's called now, but when you have an idea right now, over time, after 2 years, you start to lose interest, and it may never take 2 years. It may just be after a month. Yes. You start losing interest if you don't work on it. So the more time passes, the more you lose interest in it.
That's why I keep this.
That's good. So when you have an idea, you want to make sure you're actively working on it. Like if you just like, oh my God, you're listening to this podcast, you have a light bulb moment.
Yes.
Right? You immediately start working on it, tweaking it. It may not be perfect. You just keep editing it. It may not look good. You just keep editing. You take action. You execute. Trust me, you are doing better than someone that is just not, they have the same idea, but they're not working on it. Yeah. They're not putting any effort towards it, right? So it is most important to make sure you take action on whatever ideas you have.
In a sense, manna is not going to fall from heaven.
Well, it did at a point. Yes, it did in the Bible.
It is done.
Yes, it is.
It fell. It did its purpose. It's done.
It is, yes.
So you and I, having this conversation, we know manna is not going to fall from heaven.
Fair.
We need to work it and create it.
Yes. Okay. I agree with that.
Yeah. And as we working and creating it, the right people to help us get to that next level.
Yes.
When the student is ready, the teacher appears. That is right.
It is very, very true. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. That I agree.
Thank you. Guys, you've been watching the Nanaya Ayabua podcast. If you have not subscribed, please do so. I've been with Fikayo, the original Prime Minister of Toronto. In fact, I bless you. I bless you. One aspect that we didn't even touch is mental health. I didn't even touch mental health. I did not touch your fashion sense and sensibilities, because that was what caught my attention at the BPT. And I looked and I was like, who is that? My sister said, oh, this young man, yadi yadi. He gave the whole spiel. It's like, oh, okay. I like that energy. Oh, more. Wait till be dressing. See, because of you, I did a little lipstick and
oh my God. You look good.
Ghana no go carry last.
No.
Need to idea.
Yes.
So thank you so much. Do you Maybe before we go, we touch a little bit on mental health, because as Black men, Black youth, that is one of the greatest crises. And, you know, what is your experience? How would you, you know, have conversations with Black men, youth, about mental health and, you know, some strategies? Mm-hmm.
So one thing I would say right now is, truly, I believe that a lot of people are going through mental health struggles, mm-hmm. right? I do not doubt that at all. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I would say is that we have to be proactive, right? So we have to be proactive. Now, what does being proactive mean? From the moment you wake up to the moment you sleep, you have to make sure you protect your focus and you protect mm-hmm. your energy, right? Now, once you wake up, right, and I can remember when I was sleeping on my friend's couch, it was back-to-back motivational speeches. It was back-to-back mm-hmm. podcast. I created a whole song playlist called Never Give Up, mm-hmm. right? And it was songs, right, that would help to encourage me. And mm-hmm. everybody that was negative, I made sure if we have a conversation once, we do not have a second conversation, right? We could have mistakenly had the first conversation, but the second one, that one is a choice. And I will be not making that choice. I will not make that choice, right? So you, because when you're going through issues, when you're going through struggles, right, mm-hmm. you have to make sure that you have people around you that are encouraging you, that are telling you the best is yet to come, that are telling mm-hmm. you there's more, that are telling you God has a plan, a future, and a hope for you. You have to have those people around you. If not, you will make it. If you have negative people or pessimistic people that will just tell you, okay, give up. Like, what else is there to do? Like, you're already down. Might as well just fall, right? Mm-hmm. But scripture tells us that there's hope for a tree, even if it be cut short. Scripture tells us that you can fall 7 times, but you get up 8. These are things that helped me to say, okay, I'm you know, going through things, but I am still alive. Yes. I am still alive. And when you live your life with a heart of gratitude, that makes all the difference. Because when I was on my friend's couch, I thought about the people on the streets. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have to be able to help them. Because mm-hmm. how do they take a shower? Mm-hmm. How do they brush their teeth? I was grateful that I was on my friend's couch. I was happy I was on my friend's couch because I could easily walk to the bathroom and take a shower and brush my teeth. Mm-hmm. People on the streets have to sleep beside McDonald's to go and brush their teeth. They have to sleep in a gym. They have to sleep beside Dollarama. Mm-hmm. They have to sleep beside all these spaces. They have to sleep beside Walmart to be able to freshen up. Things mm-hmm. that we all do on a day-to-day basis. Someone out there has to sleep beside all these places to be able to do life essential things. And that made me grateful, and that helped me to keep going every single day. So no matter what you are going through, the truth is you are alive. Mm-hmm. And when there is no life, there is no hope. So if there is life, there is hope. And mm-hmm. God has kept you alive for a reason. You have to remember that. And I want you to know, I'm not just saying the best is yet to come because, oh, it's a nice thing to say. I'm telling you for a fact, the best is yet to come. This is not the end. God has a plan for you. There is more. Mm-hmm. There is a future that God has for you, and it is bright. Mm-hmm. Right? So you being alive is a blessing because mm-hmm. there are people that want this opportunity to be alive, but they do not have it. Mm-hmm. So that means that there is a purpose that God has for you. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would tell them.
That is magnificent. That is beautiful. So we've gone through, just doing a quick recap of the conversations we've had in this masterclass, which you are our teacher, Fikayo. We've had, you know, a mindset. We've gone through a mindset reset. We have spoken about personal development, comparison. We've also spoken at deleting, you know, friends who do not give you that, you know, energy to move forward, which energy vampires, take those energy vampires away from you.
Vampires.
Ah, they'll just come and suck your energy, and they will not add any value. They will rather devalue you. So if you have any chance of that, you have to be mindful and get them out of your life. And the decisions you make in life have critical consequences. The decisions you make have critical consequences.
One thing I really want to say about decisions is that decisions decide destiny. You have to remember that decisions decide destiny. Everything in life is a choice, right? Now, you do not pick where you are born, but you decide where you die, right? So you do not pick where you are born. You when you are born is where you are born. You don't decide that, but you decide where you die. So you have to remember that decisions decide destiny. So in life, there are good decisions and bad decisions. So I would implore you to make the good decisions, right? And that is how you have a glorious future.
Yes. And also for the youth, one addition is mentorship. As he is on the way to being a mentor to those coming after, the aftercomers, or, you know, within your age group, the Gen Zs, mentorship is also very critical. Many of us don't think about it, you know, but it is very critical to have a mentor. And not only one mentor, maybe two mentors, three mentors for something different as you go through life. You can have a financial mentor, you can have a relationship mentor, you can have a general, you know, self-development mentor, whether in person or whatnot. And your mentors will never chase you. You got to chase them. They have something you need. You got to book it and find time with them. So that is one thing I needed to bring out, because that's a conversation I've had a lot in Ghana with young Black people here in Canada, and also in Sierra Leone, that the concept of mentorship is not there. And they think because you're the eldest, you have to always call in and check in on them. I don't have that time. But when you send me a message, like somebody just sent me a message and I had to take a quick look, I will respond. So be mindful of that and seek mentorship for things you don't know, to be able to get some of the wisdom that people have gathered. For a young man like yourself, the amount of wisdom you've spewed here, I would have thought I was speaking to a 50-year-old man.
Wow. We thank God.
Yes. And it makes the conversation very beautiful, and it gives me hope. It gives me great hope and pleasure that the next generation of, you know, Black youth, Black people, are going to transform. There's a transformation. There's a wind of change. You're going to transform this world and make it great. And you have already started by starting with yourselves deeply and then extending to community.
Wow. Thank you. That was very sweet of you. I appreciate that. Wow. Well, thank you.
It's my assessment. Continue to do the work, and we will continue to support you however best that we can. So if people are looking for you, where can they find you? I know where to find you. Where can they find you?
So you can find me on LinkedIn, Afikayo Adeoju. You can find me on Instagram as well, Afikayo Adeoju. I'm coming back to YouTube. So Afikayo Adeoju as well. So
that was 3 years ago. You said you were coming, but we're still waiting.
No, 3 years. I used to do YouTube before, and then I stopped, right? But now the YouTube that people know is not going to be the same YouTube.
This was one the baby is, YouTube.
Yeah.
The fashion YouTube.
Yeah. This one is going to be way more, I guess, grown up.
Be childlike, not childish.
Yes.
Still have a sense of humor. Live life, be happy, enjoy the moment. When you come back on YouTube, I think I subscribed.
Thank you.
So I'm just waiting for you.
Sounds good.
So, guys, you've been watching the Nana Yaye Bua podcast. Thank you so much
for having me. Truly. You